I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. Welcome to a special episode of Real Talk MS. Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by EMD Serono and is only intended for a U.S. audience. EMD Serono is a healthcare business of Merck, KGaA, Darmstadt, Germany, in the United States, and in Canada. Today, we're exploring the impact of cognitive symptoms on employment status. We'll be looking at the challenges faced and discussing some possible solutions to help people living with MS better manage this very important aspect of their lives. Joining me for today's conversation is Professor Don Langdon, a professor of neuropsychology at the Royal Holloway University of London in the UK. Don has a special interest in cognition. She's also a trustee of the UK MS Trust, and together they've created a website that takes a deep dive into how MS impacts cognitive function, along with ways to manage those changes. You can find the Staying Smart website at mstrust.org.uk/resources/staying-smart. Also joining us is David Yendel. Since being diagnosed with MS in 2010, David has been a passionate advocate for helping people living with MS to stay employed. David was a head of employment for a major UK organization until his illness resulted in early retirement. And among subsequent engagements as a consultant, David spent 4 years as the president of the United Nations Staff Management Committee. Both Don and David are active members of the MS in the 21st Century Initiative. MS21 is a Merck KGaA Darmstadt Germany initiative involving healthcare professionals and patient advocates. And please note that today's conversation is not intended to be interpreted as medical advice. As always, please consult with your physician for more information about your particular circumstances. Well, to get us started today, Don, from your experience, could you explain what we mean when we talk about cognitive symptoms in MS, and how have you seen these symptoms present in people who are living with MS?
Well, John, when we talk about cognition in MS, the kind of difficulties that people encounter are often with concentration and memory. And people with MS talk about brain fog. But people like me talk about information processing speed, which, if you like, is a kind of bandwidth. It's how much information you can take in at one time. And also the memory problems can lead people to forget things, and most importantly, and perhaps most damagingly, forget to do things. Everyone with MS has a different experience, because apart from their cognitive challenges, they're going to have different family circumstances. Sadly, some will be depressed, some will have bad fatigue. So cognition is going to interact with all of those things. But they are common, these cognitive difficulties. I would say probably at least half people with MS experience them as significant difficulties. And so therefore, we need to be aware of these difficulties. They can be quite invisible to other people, loved ones, employers, friends, because firstly, this information processing speed is kind of about how good you are at taking in information, which is hard for another person to judge. And another issue is that the cognitive difficulties aren't always aligned with the physical difficulties. So you can find someone with MS, you know, who is very sprightly, running, walking, even dancing, but they may have actually quite difficult memory problems, whereas somebody else who has more physical impairment may actually not be experiencing very wide cognitive difficulties. So for all those reasons, it's a bit of an invisible symptom.
Don, how can these symptoms affect someone's work performance or employment security?
Well, sadly, they can affect both those things. So, for example, if you think about this bandwidth problem, which we call information processing speed, it means that people often can be distractible, because if there's too much information coming in, they can't process it. And also, we know that when you measure cognition, because as psychologists, we've developed ways of putting numbers on these difficulties. When you measure cognition, we know from a study, for example, from University of Buffalo in New York, that people's memory and concentration predicts their current work status, but also importantly, it predicts whether or not they will be employed in 4 years' time. So it's kind of a bit of a time bomb if it's not appropriately addressed.
Well, David, I think Dawn has led us into a very important question. As someone who's living with MS, what kinds of concerns do you think other people living with MS might have about cognitive symptoms and their effect on employment?
Well, as Dawn has so eloquently explained, everyone diagnosed with MS has different visible and invisible symptoms, and therefore faces a number of challenges if they are in employment. As most people are when they're first diagnosed with MS, all too often their employment status often changes within a few years of being diagnosed for a number of reasons, including their employer being unable to make the necessary changes to enable them to continue working. Invisible symptoms, especially cognitive difficulties, are much more difficult for people with MS to discuss with and explain to their employer. It can be seen as rather embarrassing, perhaps, to discuss this. And frankly, it can also be seen as potentially like a job threatening. It's much easier for employers to understand the visible symptoms that people have, such as difficulties with mobility and stability, and to make the necessary changes in working conditions or in the workplace to adjust that. But it's much more difficult for people with invisible symptoms, I think.
Well, I want to explore something I just heard you allude to. You know, disclosure can be a tricky subject. So let me ask you, do you think people living with MS who experience cognitive symptoms have concerns about disclosing this aspect of their disease to their employers? And if so, why?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, disclosure is a really critical issue. I mean, I have always suggested to people with MS that it's a good strategy to disclose your symptoms, because in my experience, and I've worked a lot with employers giving advice on a number of areas, most employers will want to do the best they can for their employer and will hope for their employer and hope that they will continue in employment with them. But these invisible symptoms are difficult. It's not something that is necessarily something that the employer can be aware of. And I think it is seen by many people as something that is potentially job threatening. The sorts of changes that might be necessary in the workplace to enable people with cognitive difficulties to continue in employment are potentially quite significant. It might require changes in the way the work is done. It might require working less hours so there's less pressure put on the individual. It might require delegating certain responsibilities. And all of those are things that many people feel uncomfortable saying to their employer, I want to do less of this, or I can't do that. I think they will feel in many instances that potentially that may well have an adverse effect on their employment relationship with it. And that's, you know, a really significant issue, because I think once you get out of employment, getting back into employment with, for someone with MS, is quite difficult. John, you're an MS caregiver, I believe. Do you think that employment difficulties resulting from cognitive symptoms have an impact on caregiver, family, and spouse relations?
Well, that's a great question, David. As most of my listeners know, I spent about 23 years as a caregiver for my wife. And I think that employment difficulties, whether they result from cognitive symptoms or other symptoms, have an impact on someone's livelihood. They have an impact on the financial status of that family. And that certainly creates additional stress, additional strain on the budget. And of course, that can have an impact on those spousal relations, right? You now have one partner who is living with MS and doing the very best they can in life, and yet they're either working less or perhaps not working at all. And you have another partner who is devoting time to being a caregiver and at the same time feeling the financial pressures of being the only breadwinner now. So it can certainly have an impact and really has to be acknowledged and carefully managed. You know, while we're discussing the concerns that people living with MS might have around disclosing those cognitive symptoms to their employers, David, what would you say are the challenges they might face when they initiate that discussion with their employers about making accommodations of their needs in the workplace?
Well, the first thing I think, and it's a really big issue, I think, is that it's quite a challenge for people because many people don't actually recognize that they have cognitive difficulties. And even if they do, maybe many times they think it's part of the aging process that we all go through rather than due to their MS. So I think that's a big challenge. So I think people feel uncomfortable about it. They feel, I think, as I said before, slightly potentially ashamed of it, and I think potentially worried about what that implication is. And equally, their employer is going to struggle because it's relatively straightforward for an employer to make adjustments to accommodate people who've got visible symptoms, whether that be, you know, walking or stability, by potentially, I don't know, moving the location of where the person's sitting so that they're nearer to a lift and toilets and things like that. But actually, I think the sorts of changes that may be needed to cope with cognitive difficulties are more significant, and they have potentially a significant impact on other employees as well, because it may require employees to take on some of the duties that were being taken on by that person. And that, I think, is potentially quite a challenge for the employer. And I think there's far less advice for employers about how they deal with cognitive issues. I mean, it was interesting, when I was diagnosed, I disclosed to my manager that I had MS. And with my suggestion, he wrote to my consultant about the fact that I had MS and what were the implications for me and the company of this having happened. He wrote back a very long letter, 3 pages long, I think it was, explaining what the impact of MS was likely to have on my work situation and the sorts of changes that might be needed. But at no time did he talk about any cognitive difficulties that I might have. It wasn't something that came up. And frankly, it wasn't until I raised the issue with my consultant about 2 or 3 years ago that we ever had a conversation about cognitive difficulties. And I suspect, from what I know from talking to many other people, that that is not a dissimilar situation that they face. So I think it is quite difficult for people to really understand and explain what their cognitive difficulties are and how those could be assisted by the employer.
Well, let's talk about how those challenges can be assisted. What kinds of workplace adjustments might be helpful for employees with MS-related cognitive symptoms?
Well, it would explain a little bit about what those cognitive difficulties are, but it may well be that the individual is perhaps not able to fulfill the full range of duties which they were doing before they were diagnosed. So it may be certain parts of the job they're doing. It will obviously depend very much on the job itself, but there may be certain jobs where it might be now desirable for that individual's work to be given to somebody else to undertake, maybe certain duties, certain aspects of their job, not the whole job by any stretch of the mind, but it will be, they'll almost certainly end up with a different job from what they were doing before diagnosed. And I think that's quite a worry for people, that they, it's something they don't really understand. They don't know quite how much worse it's going to get. And they don't know what the implications are going to be for them in employment terms. But I think many of them probably think this is going to not be good news.
Don, what kinds of things could best support people living with MS in managing the impact of their cognitive symptoms on their work? And to what extent do you think healthcare professionals play a role in supporting their patients in managing this particular challenge?
Well, if you are a person with MS and you're experiencing cognitive challenges in the workplace, number one, you have to be match fit to beat it. So everything to do with MS, how you manage it, other diseases you may have, all that will have an effect on how fast your cognitive difficulties progress. There's also a brain health agenda, whereby if you take positive lifestyle choices, which I have to say are very boring, you will help to protect your cognition and you may even be able to improve it. And this includes cognitive challenging tasks. So we always say, you know, read a book, good. Talk about the book at a book circle, better. Write a short story, best. So the more you manage to challenge yourself, the more you will preserve the cognitive abilities that you have. Patient organizations can have a key role because you can speak to other people with MS who've experienced these difficulties, found solutions. You can speak to people who are employed by the charity who may have some experience of these things. And you can go to your healthcare professionals who will certainly have seen these challenges and difficulties before and can come up with ideas that can help you. John, I'd like to know what you think about the actions that people living with MS and their caregivers can take to help themselves and each other stay proactive in the management of their cognitive symptoms and how they affect their employment.
Don, I think the key word in your question there is the word proactive. You know, we can't necessarily do much about the fact that cognitive symptoms may become part of someone's particular MS journey. But should that be the case, there are steps people can take to put them in the very best situation possible. For instance, some of the things you mentioned in terms of keeping your mind sharp are great ideas for anyone. And I think for the most part, employers, you know, they want to hold on to good people. So they're going to do their best in most cases to try and make those accommodations, to make sure that you're comfortable doing the job and they're comfortable keeping you on board at the same time. I think having an ongoing dialogue with your MS care team is always important, no matter which symptom you might be talking about. And taking a look at how your particular cognitive symptoms might be impacting your future on the job is an important part of that proactive planning for what may or may not lie down the road. Now, I think in terms of MS caregivers, there's a role for caregivers to play here as well. You know, dealing with a new symptom, no matter what it is never a positive experience. And I think that when we're talking about cognitive symptoms, as David pointed out earlier, when we're talking about something that's invisible and yet profoundly affecting you as an individual, that can even be scary. And I think that the role of the caregiver is to help steady the ship, is to make sure that the person they're caring for is real clear on the fact that they are there to support them, that they are there to remove as many obstacles in their path as they possibly can. And when those obstacles can't all be removed, to at least make it a relatively smooth path along the way. Caregivers can provide support. They can find tools. They can promote things like reading that book and then discussing that book and other kinds of mind training activities that are going to help someone feel a bit more in control of those cognitive issues. I realize you're both part of the MS and the 21st Century Initiative. So before we close today's episode, I want to make sure we talk about MS and the 21st Century. The survey about the impact of cognition on employment is something that all of our listeners can participate in. But David, can you tell us what the MS and the 21st Century Initiative is all about, how you got involved, and what the group is hoping to achieve with this particular piece of research?
John, I'm very pleased to do that. I got involved with the MS in the 21st century about 6-7 years ago after meeting one of the members of the steering group at a conference, an MS conference at which I was speaking. I'm now on the steering group of MS21, which is a group of people with MS and a range of healthcare professionals. And we come from a number of different countries. I mean, there are a number of people from the UK, but there are a lot of people from Europe. We have some people from the States, and we have people from Asia, and I think where else, but I think, you know, a wide range of people. So a lot of experience. What we are mainly aiming to do is to improve communications in MS care. And as a result, encourage greater patient engagement and involvement, which hopefully will improve their care. I've been involved in a number of projects that we've been doing, and perhaps the one that I'm most proud of being involved in, I think, is developing a document toolkit which people with MS can use when preparing for and then having discussions with their healthcare professionals so that A, they don't forget things, and B, they make sure that they cover the issues that are important to them. Now, we're now starting to move on to looking at cognition, which I think we have recognized is an aspect of MS care that perhaps hasn't had quite the attention that it perhaps should have done. And what we're now hoping to do is, by understanding better how people with MS and the healthcare professionals that look after them handle the whole issue of cognition, so that we can perhaps develop tools that they can use to improve that communication about that. And in turn, that might help communications with their employer. So it's a big project, but very valuable, and I think one that if we can get a good response to the survey, will be very, very valuable.
I think you're 100% right. Unfortunately, the cognitive symptoms of MS are not the first symptoms people tend to acknowledge and talk about, and so they sometimes go overlooked, and that just creates unnecessary levels of stress and anxiety all around. So hopefully this conversation is going to be a step toward making sure there is greater awareness of the cognitive symptoms that can impact someone living with MS, how it can impact them on the job, what they can do about it, how they can be proactive in taking action on behalf of their own interests and making sure that they get the appropriate level of accommodation from employers. Caregivers can provide the adequate support at home. And I think that we've taken a good step in the direction of making sure people get the message that the cognitive symptoms that impact people with MS impact them sometimes on the job. And when they do, there are steps to be taken there. I hope everyone listening will take a moment and visit msinthe21stcentury.com and take the MS in the 21st Century Cognition Survey. You'll see that link in today's show notes. Professor Dawn Langdon and David Yendel, thanks for talking with me today. And once again, I want to thank EMD Serono for sponsoring this special episode of Real Talk MS. EMD Serono is a healthcare business of Merck KGaA Darmstadt, Germany, in the United States and in Canada.